This is the Friday, December 4th, 2015 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Naomi Bloom. Naomi, good to have you back.
Thank you.
Let's continue our discussion from those folks who have tweeted at us, at Market to Market. You are at Naomi Bloom, if anybody wants to have conversation with you. Let's start with Mark in Ontario, Canada. He writes, what's the take in this high basis for old and new crop?
The take is the basis is high because no one is selling. And so the end users are saying, bring us some product. We're going to try to help you out. And so that's why the basis is high. It's a gift. And, you know, I was visiting with some producers from across the country earlier this week, and everyone, except for one part in northern Wisconsin, had positive basis or better than normal basis. So make sure you're capitalizing on that, because that's not normal. That's not normal at all for this time of year.
Right.
And so what you need to be doing is calling your elevator, your ethanol plants, and asking about the basis contracts, because then you're just locking in that component of the price, and you can take advantage of it, and then they're happy because they know bushels are coming in. But then you also then truly in theory are going to have the other advantage that the funds separately in the future market are going to continue to short cover. So you have the opportunity to still have a nice price bounce, so you can then finish pricing your contract with a better bounce and over the next couple weeks. So it's a gift. And as soon as people start selling, because you know they got to sell because they got to pay bills for the end of the year or at the
right.
beginning of the year, it's going to go away, and then you're going to say, oh, I wish I would have.
You always look in hindsight of, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be $4.50,
yeah.
and that's where I needed to make profit, but I thought it was going $4.75.
Right.
You've
right.
never heard that before in the road.
No, never.
All right. And you bring in ethanol a little bit, and that's something we didn't quite get to in the show as much. But it was the news this week was it kind of irritated oil, and it irritated the renewable industry. And it was kind of in the middle. So is that one of those nobody wins or everybody wins
I think
type
it
of scenarios?
Probably was, and that way you can kick the can down the road and you still have flexibility for whatever needs to happen in the future. So the good news, in my opinion, is that the ethanol blend and how much we're going to be using next year was 500 million gallons more than last year. So that's good news. And so is it as much as what that mandate had been from 2007, I think it was? No. But, I mean, things are happening in the world, and you can't quite make it be what in 2007 we thought was perfect. So in my opinion, it's an okay balance to keep people happy, because at least it's going to keep the corn price supported for right now. Is it that big optimistic one that we were looking for? No. But, you know, we'll get there over time.
Do you think, look, crystal ball this for me with oil. I mean, oil at below $40 this week.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen 60, 80, 100 in quite some time. Do you think EPA took that into consideration a little bit in this discussion?
Oh, totally. Yeah, because if there's like a threat of the price of crude oil going higher, well, then people would get nervous that the corn price would follow, and then everybody's complaining about high price feed down the road. So it definitely was a consideration in it, because corn and crude oil really do track. You know, a third of the value of corn is it's energy based, so it does track the energy markets in a sense. With crude oil and the supply that we have, we're probably going to stay in the $40 to maybe $50 barrel for a while, until OPEC finally says, okay, we need to generate some cash, and our countries need to generate cash. So I don't know, the whole ethanol thing, I think it was an okay thing that we
yeah.
found out.
And there was an interesting thing, and I know we retweeted it, and I think I posted it on the Facebook page as well. There was, depending on who wrote the story, the headline was dramatically different
yeah.
in the way
yeah.
it read. So everybody reads it differently. Now, Jeff in Kennedy, Minnesota, he was writing, and he was reading different things. He said he's been hearing, he's listening out there, that some people talk about how we are in a 15-year lull in commodity markets right now. Are we in the middle of, we talked about that, oh, there went that price that I wanted. Are we
yeah.
in that, are we in the middle of something that we just don't know?
We are. I can't speak to the 15-year exact number, but the overall, the CRB index is definitely lower. And the CRB index looks at all of the different commodities, and it has like a little bit of a weighted average. All the commodities in general are lower than they've been. Part of that is with the stock market being higher, the money of the world is putting their money in the stock market, and it's not in the commodities, but also globally we have a supply surplus in
right.
so many commodities, and that's why we're at these lower values. So when the supply situation starts to dwindle And when people get freaked out about being in the stock market and they take their money and run, that money is definitely going to come back into commodities. So I don't think this is going to be doom and gloom and the prices are never going to come back. Be patient. It'll maybe take a couple years, but it'll come.
It can't be 2008 all the time.
Not
or 2009.
Right.
I mean, when we saw, and we'll never see that. I can remember constantly hearing growing up the whole, if we could just get to $3, you know, or $4, and here we're at, you know, pushing $5. I know when you've got things to pencil out when you're figuring $6 or $7, that's a different discussion. All right, Isaac in Riceville, who also was in Ames, he writes, what do you expect for corn export numbers ahead of Wednesday's WASD report? I mean, we talk about exports as one of those things to help, you know, give us some support. What do you expect?
I don't think that they will do too much to it. If they do anything, they may reduce it a little bit. A specific amount, I couldn't even speculate as to what it would be. But otherwise, so that would be the part of the balance sheet that we're seeing a reduction of demand. But with ethanol staying solid and the feed numbers being solid, it may make the ending stocks number, that final ending stocks number, just a little bit larger, but it's kind of, you know, like it's too early in the year to be overly freaked out about it, quite frankly.
And there's always the camp that says a number is just a number. It doesn't mean anything. It's really not a true reflection of what is in the stock, and it's just manipulation of some sorts.
Some feel.
A government conspiracy. I'm not saying names, Darren Newsom. But let's talk about Cooper's Crop stock. He writes, and also going to couple this with another question. So Cooper's question is, will a weaker U.S. dollar encourage additional exports and create much of an impact on the price of corn? And then we have another question from Phil in Ontario. Phil, who's you can find him at Agridome, he says U.S. dollar fell 2% in one day last week. At what level does it need to descend to for ag futures to be stimulated? You see these together, Naomi.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to start it from the perspective of the value of the dollar and then take you back to what corn exports have done when the dollar has fluctuated. So right now the dollar is at 100 even. Historically, when you look back like 10, 15 years, any time that the dollar has been at this level, corn exports, assuming like supply is kind of fine and there's no weather issues, corn exports are always right around 2 billion bushels. Period. That's how it is. But when it was 2007 and our dollar was at like 70, our exports were up at 2.4 billion. And then in other years when the dollar was higher than 100, our exports then went down to 1.7 billion. So absolutely the correlation is there. But I was encouraged, because I was just giving a speech on all of this recently, I was so encouraged that, this is not like the end of the world. You know, our exports will, in theory, stay around 2 billion bushels. And then you can kind of look back from history that if it ends up that the dollar does continue to go higher, that, yeah, it's going to be reduced, but even when the last time the dollar was as high as it was in the early 2000s, the exports, it was only like 1.7 billion bushels. So it's not like they stopped. So I was encouraged by that. It's something to just keep an eye on for the balance sheets coming up. But now separately, soybeans, they weren't really affected by the exports like the corn was. And I didn't know that. They just have this kind of, you can count on the exports. It's solid. It's steady. That may change a little bit because now there's more global players with soybean
contributing to the pot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But historically, it never affected the soybean exports. Yeah.
Interesting.
Ta-da.
And that was something you talked about this week on your appearance in Chicago.
Yes.
You get all over the place and talk to people.
Yeah,
and that's great.
Kind of fun.
It is fun. And it's been fun sitting here having a conversation with you.
Yeah, you too.
All right, Naomi Bloom, thank you so much. And
thanks.
We appreciate all of your questions that you sent to us at Market to Market and also via our Facebook page, IPTV Market. And we appreciate you having us with you in the car or in the tractor or wherever you may be. We'll see you next time. Have a great week.